It's time for Nutty Debate.
Debate at Dragon Cant. Yay, Dragon Cant. You might hear little dinks going on because people are entering and leaving the chat. I'm sorry, I have no control over that. But hey, this is how they go. We're going to be debating reading fiction versus listening to fiction. That's right. The dead tree or the patio book. Which is better? Which works better for your lifestyle? And with us, we have myself, Nuke Joss.
Tech.
The Clockwork Doctor. Hello, everyone.
Chris Moody.
Hello.
And Tree.
Hey.
Okay, so first we're just going to start out, and I'm going to go round robin and have everybody introduce themselves. In addition to listeners who are not here live, after we put out our main topics, we're going to have the rest of the people in the Hangout who have attended the panel for Dragon Cant. Yay, Dragon Cant! They're going to put their two cents in, so this is going to be interesting. This is the first time. Okay, so let's start out. We're going to go with Chris. Chris, what is your opinion? Written fiction or audio fiction?
Well, for me, it depends on when I'm doing it. I have a lot of time at work where if I'm doing it at work, it's of course audio fiction because my ears aren't busy processing information, but my eyes are. But if I'm at home, I tend to enjoy reading it more than listening.
Excellent, excellent. Now I'm going to turn the floor over to Tech, the founder of the Dead Tree Society. Go on, Tech, tell us. By the way, if you can't notice, he's wearing a Fetidist t-shirt right now.
Awesome.
And he is championing the Dead Tree while wearing a patio book t-shirt.
Right. I'm nothing if not contradictory, so hey. Right. I very much prefer to read. I am the founder of the Dead Tree Society, if you see that on my Twitter. My point is I have a very active imagination, and I find listening to a voice, especially somebody who's doing the voices of their characters, to be very limiting. A good example that I'll give is Scott Sigler. I love his work. I love reading his books. I could not get into The Crypt because of the awful, terrible women's voices that he does. And hearing Scott in a falsetto completely kills the immersion into the book. The stories that he's written for the GFL universe, I know what the aliens sound like in my head. I don't need somebody interpreting that for me. It sort of heightens my immersion to imagine it myself. It'd be the same thing if it's the same thing with movies. I find that the visuals of a movie can take away from the story. That's why movies from books very rarely work, because you can imagine it better than somebody else telling you what you've imagined. I see things very vividly in my head. I don't need somebody else to interpret that. That being said, there are some stories that I've loved on audio. All of the Union Dues stories by Jeff DiRigo have been done incredibly well, but I do believe that we were treated to the creme de la creme of the writers, of the readers who read those stories, though, when you had, you know, Scott Sigler, Mer Lafferty, Stevie Lee, P.G. Holyfield reading the stories. We did have the best of the best.
And full cast.
And full cast readings are great as well because you have the individual voices. I find that one author doing it all takes it away from me, and I don't know. I'm repeating myself.
All right, excellent. And now I'm going to turn the floor over to Treed, the champion of the patio book.
Well, for me, patio books are you can read, you can also listen. In your car, you can't read, but you can listen. Like Chris was talking about, sometimes when you're doing something else, you can still listen. You know, for me, the advantage of listening over reading is these glasses are bifocals, and they don't always work as well as I'd like them to. When I read on a screen, when I'm reading on the screen or reading my Kindle or reading a book, my eyes get tired faster. I get headaches. I can't read without my glasses. So reading in bed is out for me because it doesn't work. So listening is the primary way of me hearing. And I hear all of Tech's objections to listening to a story because, yes, in my mind, how I read a story and how the author reads a story is different. How the person voices the characters is different than how I hear the voices when I read. Sometimes my imagination is much better than the reader's imagination in that regard. But again, it's what's handy, what you can use, what you can do with it. From my point of view, it's a matter of practicality. I can't read while driving, and I spend a lot of time driving. And from my eyes, from a physical standpoint, it's just easier for me to listen than it is to read.
And that, by the way, is one of the reasons why patio books are so great. I work with a lot of students that have difficulty with reading, and patio books have been great for them. I work with a lot of older people who, much like Treed, have issues with their eyes, and that's helpful. I know that when I was working with Between the Lines Studios, that we actually had letters come into us from a young man who was blind, who said, thank you so much because you are making content that I can enjoy, because most content out on the web is visual. It's on YouTube, but podcasts are audio and they are something that I can enjoy. And that was great. For me, I do prefer reading, but here's the problem. I read really, really slowly. And I just can't get in the amount of books reading it off of Dead Tree than I could listening to it via audiobook. And so that's why I love audiobooks. And honestly, there are some audiobooks that I will listen to that I would never have bought in the store. I would never have picked it up. And there are some audiobooks that I will listen to and say, you know what? That was good. Would I spend a month reading it? No. But I enjoyed spending a week listening to it. And then there are some books where I say, oh my gosh, I can't believe that I totally missed this when it was in the store, like Tracy Hickman's Immortals. Never even knew it existed. And then I heard it on audiobooks and I was just blown away. And again, that was done really well with he and his wife, Laura, doing the different voices, which was very nice. I will say that audio quality production is definitely a big trigger on which patio books I like more than others. Some patio books I will listen to just for the voice. Nathan Lowell reads it. I'm going to listen to it.
Veronica's another one.
Who?
Veronica.
Yes. Veronica's good. You know, PG. I mean, there's so many PG. Great voices out there. And I know that Odin One Eye says that he prefers when the author reads the book himself, but some authors have learned, okay, but I don't have a voice for podcast, and that's great. And sometimes, depending on the content, it might not work. I mean, not everyone can be Nathan Lowell and read from the point of view of, you know, a middle-aged woman when they're not. Whereas other people say, okay, I'm going to get a woman to read this.
Nathan is also a fantastic reader because when his characters laugh, he laughs.
Yes.
And it's genuine. He can make himself genuinely laugh with the jokes that he's written into his book. And that is so incredibly rare.
Yeah.
I don't listen to a lot of stories, but we were listening to some Nathan Lowell stories on the last big drive we were on. And just the way he was reading was entertaining. You know, nuts to the story, the show he was putting on was worth the price of admission right there.
Yeah, absolutely. I try to, the last readings that I did, I recorded the lines for Ginny Dare for Scott Roche. And to prepare for that, I listened to a lot of Nathan Lowell. And I don't think I can come close to Nathan's performance, but I tried to do that. When Ginny was laughing, I laughed. And hopefully that comes out. I don't know. It hasn't been listened to yet, so nobody knows. Any other points before we open it up to the floor?
One other, you touched on it, is the production quality. And it's one thing that that Odin One Eye really stresses is there something that takes you out of the story? Like a repeated line, a ding that signifies that, or some audio clue that they're supposed to edit right there and they didn't. Background noises that happen.
Somebody doing a really bad female voice.
Yes. And those kinds of distractions do tend to take you out of the story. The problem it becomes is how far away from the story does it take you? You know, does it pull you out of the story enough that it takes you a while to get back into it, that you have to rewind and start again? I've had a few spots in stories that's done that to me. But then I've also had some places in a story where a line from it just caught me by surprise. And I had to stop, where when you're reading a book, you know, you can just stop reading. But when you're listening to audio, you can't stop listening to the audio. You have to stop it.
For the pause switch.
Yeah. And sometimes that's not practical, especially when you're trying to keep both hands on the wheels. So that's one of the drawbacks to audio.
I will say, in credit to Patio books, especially if they're horror or spooky or anything like that, if you're driving through Maine, there is no better ambiance than in the middle of the night driving down 95 through Maine and listening to some spooky story. It's just perfect.
I've also noticed that with even with printed books, sometimes if they put the wrong word in or they have some other kind of obvious errors, that can also pull you out of this story for a little bit until you, because sometimes it just hits you like almost like a brick wall, and yeah, it takes a little while to get past it.
There's nothing like a typo. An awkward typo to sort of derail the train of thought and remind you that, yeah, you're sitting in your living room reading a book.
Awkward grammar really pulls me out of a story, whether it's written or audio. Because there was one I kept bringing up to my – there was something in one of the stories I was reading, and I kept bringing it up to my wife saying, this sounds awkward. And I was bugging her about it. But it obviously took me out of the story. It took – 30 minutes for me to get over that and move on.
I've been known to highlight typos and issues that I've found in my books. I do remember driving down to Virginia with my sister, and we're reading Harry Potter to each other. And one of the Harry Potters had a really bad typo or a word misspelled or something. I can't remember what. It was like the third book, I think. And I just couldn't get past it. I was like, wait a minute. But this is a hardcover printed book. That was the first one I can remember. And then I've just noticed it since then. And I was like, okay, there's typos in all books.
Yeah. Oh, for that case, was it a typo or were they using the English spelling?
No, I believe it was a typo. It wasn't an English spelling. That's why I was checking with my sister. My sister is an English teacher, and she specialized in English literature. So... that it was just spelled. I don't remember exactly the word, but I do remember it was an issue, and we just puzzled over it for.
But don't they have the UK version and a US version of the books?
Yeah, they do.
Because the Philosopher's Stone versus the Sorcerer's Stone.
And different illustrations on the cover.
Right.
Hang on, Tibby says there's some good. Some of the back roads in Oregon are also a great backdrop for horror stories. I believe it, Tibby. I believe it. And I'm going to open up the floor to the people in the hangout to give their opinions.
If no one talks, Rory starts eating people.
Yes, if no one talks, Rory's going to eat people. Who looks tastiest, Rory? I look tastiest? That's just because I'm closest. Ah! Okay, so since nobody's jumping up,
okay, so why don't we just ask people?
Yes.
Julian, which do you prefer?
Yes,
reading
Julian.
Or listening, and why?
I'm like you. I'm more of a reader. I have like the most overactive imagination ever, and I prefer to read my words rather than listen to them, because when I listen to something, I have a tendency of blocking it out. I don't like to sit there and listen, because I'm off staring into space, or I'm starting to doodle on something, and I just completely blank out. But when I'm holding a physical book in my hands, I'm actually forcing myself to read the words, and so I'm beginning to generate the images in my head and the stories. But my biggest problem is I start to rewrite crap. Reading books and even listening to books is kind of difficult, because I'm starting like, no, this would be so much better if this happened.
Can you smell the fan fiction?
That's where I got my start.
Exactly. All right, Tibby?
Well, when it comes to novel length, I like to read. Mm-hmm. I like paper in my hand. And I'm like Julian and you, that I have a very good imagination, and I can just lose myself in a book. And I don't seem to lose myself as well in a long novel length, but I do really like short stories. I like listening to, I don't like reading short stories, but I'm finding I like listening to short stories, something that I can do in a walk when I walk in the morning. So short stories, and also like, for instance, the Full Cast podcast or the Round Table, mm-hmm. that length. I like that length for listening. But for a novel, I'll take paper anytime.
There you go. Now we've got, it depends on what the format of mm-hmm. fiction is. And Tibby, I met through Flash Pulp, which is it's an anthology podcast. It's all pulp flash story. I can't speak. Stories in flash length that are of a pulp nature, which is excellent. I'm going to throw out some other questions. Essentially, if you listen to podcasts, where do you listen to the most? And I know Chris had said he listens in the car a lot. That was Treed who said listens in the car a lot.
Yeah, I generally listen while I'm at work or on my way to and from work.
There you go. That works. Julian, where do you listen to your fiction?
I usually listen to him in my I listen to him. I always listen to yours, of course. I listen mostly when I'm in my office, if I'm not doing anything important. Or actually, I listen to quite a few of yours while I'm gaming. So I'll be sitting there completing quests and whatnot, and I have, you know, you talking in my head and some others I actually started listening to. So I have like a wide variety of where I do listen to podcasts. But it's mostly in my office while I'm either doing homework or completing, you know, a task or something.
Excellent, excellent. I do believe we may have NCAF.
I listen to audiobooks. I think that's the current question, right? I'm kind of behind a little bit. I listen to audiobooks any opportunity I can. If I have a long drive, there's nothing better to me than getting a whole lot of audiobooks just lined up, and I'll listen to, you know, 6 hours of a book. When I'm walking, I'm listening to podcasts a lot, but audiobooks are another great way. And the thing I like about audiobooks over regular books is I can actually fall asleep gently and have a great dream to an audiobook, but I can't do that to a regular book. I think when I'm visually engaged in a book, I'm finding that my mind gets too stimulated and my thinking processes get too stimulated in the wrong way, and I just want to keep reading. But if I'm listening to something, I can kind of drift off, and then I can rewind a little bit in the morning if I found myself somewhere else.
I am exactly the same way. If I'm reading a book before bed, I will stay up all night until I've finished the chapter or I've finished the book.
Yeah, exactly. So continue. And as someone who has, you know, probably 1,000, 1,500 books, I lost count a long time ago. Paper books, I find that, and I have, you know, dozens and dozens of audiobooks, and that's starting to grow too. I find that I can kind of manage my audiobooks a lot better, and I can make time to kind of squeeze those in a little bit here and there. I can squeeze in a 20-minute episode between, you know, breakfast, or I can throw it on while I'm doing something else. And I think somebody else mentioned that before. It might have been, I think Treed actually mentioned earlier, where I can do other things while I'm listening to an audiobook and still get the audiobook experience. But if I pull a book off my shelf, I've got to focus on it and it alone. So that's the way it goes for me.
I will admit that I love being able to paint or draw while I'm listening to a book. Whereas generally, if I'm reading, like you said, you can't do anything else. And often I can work while listening to books. And I find that depending on the book or the podcast, I'll pick different things depending on what I'm doing, or if I need to change my mood, or if I'm in a certain mood. So it's very interesting, you know, what I pick and what goes on. Tibby, where do you listen primarily?
Mostly I listen on my walks, and I find I can take a longer walk when I'm listening to a podcast than when I'm not. I get bored on my walks. Then my other place is when I'm doing household chores. Mostly when I'm doing dishes, I'll save up the dishes for the whole day, and then I'll just do a bunch. And then occasionally when I drive up to town for shopping, I'll listen to a podcast. I used to listen to the radio all the time, but I'm finding I would rather listen to a podcast, and I'll listen to a longer podcast a lot of times at that point, because I'll have like a couple hours driving back and forth. So,
absolutely, absolutely. And I think the last person to talk to on this particular topic is Treed. Where do you listen most frequently?
Generally, when I'm driving, when I go to work and run errands, walking around the grocery store, I must look very unapproachable because I just have a, you know, my face just, I don't know, I make people turn and walk the other way sometimes. I've been known when I mow the lawn, I'm listening to, I have a very strong memory of listening to the Secret World Chronicles while mowing the lawn. Usually when I'm doing something else that's sort of rote, you know, you have those things that are rote. I'll play when I'm sitting at home and I'm listening to stories, I'll play solitaire on the computer or something like that, where I'm still doing something, but it's not enough to take me out of the story.
Yeah, anything that requires concentration will definitely take me out. Anytime I have to write an email, I need to stop. Anytime I actually have to do anything that requires thinking. But if I'm just click, click, clicking, I have no problem. I'm going to ask people who write. Now, I think there's about half of the people here in the Hangout are writers or enjoy writing. And I'm going to ask, which would you prefer? Do you think it's essential that your work is podcasted? What are your thoughts on that? And I'm going to start not with one of our debaters this time. I'm going to start with NCAF because he is the most recently published via podiobooks.com. So, Mark, what are your thoughts on podcasting your fiction? Is it essential? Do you think it is needed?
Having no actual paper version of the stuff that I've done, yes. But yes, I suppose I would consider it essential. I think that one of the things that's really cool about the podcast books is they reach a different audience, I think, than the paper ones, at least initially. And they help to build the support network that I think helps authors, new authors, really grow. We've seen this, I think, in a number of cases. I've read a lot of books where they kind of start out, they're good books and they edit them, but they get some feedback in a much more intimate way that you do with podcasting as well in general. And then that transforms their future works until they get that publishing deal. And then they still go back. I think that, I don't think Scott Sigler would be necessarily as successful as he is today without having built his network of junkies and built that support and feedback network. Nathan Lowell's another one that I think that, while now I think he's reached the level of e-publishing where people know about him, I think that he started with the audio stuff and really made that difference. So I think it's never going to be essential, but I think it's a fantastic step and a fantastic platform to build on. So I heard a ding, so that must be my time is up.
No, that's the noise that somebody's trying to enter the Hangout. That's excellent. Yeah, I will agree with you. You can see the progression of podcast novelists. As their books come out, they just get better and better as they get feedback from their fans. You know, little things like grammar issues get fixed, things like science issues, because they get a lot of consultant types going, well, actually, what you said there, that's not really true.
And if I can just,
it just gets better.
If I can just add one more point to that too, actually, a number of the authors who've done podcasted works, either because they read them themselves out loud or they had someone else reading them out loud and they heard them back, not in their own internal head voices, have discovered a massive amount of issues that they could fix and they wouldn't have heard those otherwise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's not to say that when you listen to a podio book that it's the beta version, but it just means that it's one more step in the editing process that would never be there had there not been a podcast. I'm going to ask this same question of Chris. As a writer, what do you think of having your work podcasted?
Well, I think that at least for your first work, which I haven't published anything really yet, but at least for the first work, it will help get your name out there. Beyond the first work, it's kind of up in the air right now.
Excellent, excellent. I believe that Julian is a writer as well, also completely unpublished. Julian, as a fan of Dead Tree, do you plan to podcast your fiction?
Yes, actually. Mostly because there are people who you know, have bad eyesight. They can't, you know, sit and actually stare at a book. My mom's one of them. She actually has a Nook that she can enlarge the words on, so it's easier for her to read. But, you know, people who are blind, you know, who can't actually stare directly at a book, I think it's a wonderful way to share your work with them. Since they can't actually read the physical word, they can still listen and be able to, you know, enter the world that I'm trying to create. So when I do get published, I guess, then yes, I would actually want to have my work podcasted. So people can still listen to it.
Excellent. And Tech has said that he's got a question to ask. Go ahead.
Yes. To all the arguments for audio that I've just heard, you know, is it vital to you as a writer to have your work podcasted? My question is, beyond simple distribution, beyond getting your name out there, is there something in the medium that you as the writers find appealing that makes something in the audio format that attracts you as a medium, not just as a distribution network, but is there something about either having a full cast read it or having one person read your stories that works better for you than having it on a dead tree in someone's hands?
Ooh, I don't know. Anyone want a shout out for that?
I can see why a whole cast might be more better off because, like you said earlier, you know, men trying to do women's voices is just, it can be kind of creepy. So I'm not sure, like, me as a writer would want to have a full cast other than one person, considering a lot of that my work is told in, like, one voice or mostly female voices. I guess maybe a man doing it might be okay, but it mostly would be a woman, and I don't know if a full cast would have to be required. I think it would be interesting, but I don't think it would probably be the big thing.
Anyone else have anything appealing about the medium other than just getting your fiction out there? I mean, that's pretty much the foundation of Patio Books. It started because many people found that they weren't able to get published, and they just wanted to share their fiction. So I think that's essentially a big thing. I don't know. I'm not really a published author, so I can't say.
If I could just mention, you know what? I love the spoken word. I don't know. Is somebody else talking? I can't tell. I don't know what's going on here. Direction. I need direction.
Just keep going. Just keep talking.
Yeah, it's like radio. Just keep going. You know, as someone who loves audio, loves audio books, and loves audio fiction and audio drama, there is something a little different between, say, reading Shakespeare and hearing Shakespeare performed. So some books really come alive from that kind of performance, and that's something that I would definitely encourage for those who have, like, the real dramatic things that are some things that maybe an actor or a reader can really dig into. Those ones definitely do benefit beyond just the convenience of the form. There's something that's beyond an expression. So, yes, there's definitely some books like that that I have experienced in a very different way than I would have read them.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you. And, you know, as you say that, it reminds me that there are several books that I've read where there's a lot of dialogue, and it just seems like dialogue after dialogue after dialogue. And sometimes I think, you know, I'd rather listen to this. And I think you're right. Some prose works a lot better as spoken word.
There's nothing that distracts me more in an audio production, listening to someone read a book. And so I went to the drugstore, he said. No, I got that you said it. You just said it.
You do need to edit it for audio.
He laughed. No, I got it.
I just want to make sure that I pimp all of my panelists. First off, we have Chris Moody. Pimp away.
Chris Moody, PodioMediaChat.com, SteamPod.org, and AudioCinemaReview.com.
And Treed?
Well, I don't actually have a podcast or anything. I do bit
scripts. But you have
bit scripts. I haven't done them in a while. I need to get back to them. And then I have a little blog that I just pick humorous and interesting things up in there, and I Twitter them.
Give us your Twitter name. Give us your blog name. Come on. Pimp away, even if you don't have projects.
Twitter name is TRREED. It's Treed with an extra R. And Bitstrips, bitstrips.com. And then to go to Treed with one R and search, and I'll pop up.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. And we have the Clockwork Doctor.
I am the Clockwork Doctor. I write mainly about physics, nerdy stuff, ballistics, and lately a lot about the planet Mars. NaNoWriMo this year will be my first attempt. You can find that and anything else I do right here at nimlas.org/blog with space graciously provided to me by Nutty. I can be found on Twitter @the_clock_doc, @theclockdoc. And pretty much everywhere else, just look up the Clockwork Doctor. If you see a guy with a beak, it's me.
And, of course, you're listening to Nutty Bites. Thank you, everyone. This was fun. And come join Dragon Cant next year, because it's always fun.
Always fun.
Quartoth Resort and Spa is located on the southern tip of the islands of Slux, on the northeast slopes of Fissure Peninsula. The resort's luxurious villas are built into a gently terraced hillside alongside the screaming forest. With majestic views of Boiling Lake, the location also offers spectacular vistas of Quartoth's sacred Mount Wolframheart. Quartoth Resort and Spa is a Pylean-style spa. Dramatic hilltop and lakeside dining and spirited Quartothian locals abound to assist and cater to your every need. All immersed in the mystique of this mystical land. Quartoth Resort and Spa. You just won't be able to leave.
Rasheem the Hunter killed the beast. The keepers kept the legend alive. The Macedonians uncovered the ancient book. And now, in the Library of Alexandria, the greatest storehouse of human knowledge, one scribe discovers the truth about the god Garaga. This is not a legend. Scrolls, Volume 4 in Paul Ellard Cooley's Garaga's Children Saga, ties together the previous tales in a fiery conclusion. Now available as an ebook from all major retailers, a full-length audiobook, and as a free serialized audiobook from shadowpublications.com. We don't believe in happy endings.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios. You can find us at nimlas.org/blog. Contact feedback at nuttybites@nimlas.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-NUTTY-42 or 347-688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it. Don't sell it. Don't try to make any money off of it. And link back to me, my site, and everything.
I will call on you. What I'm going to ask you to do is raise your hand or type in the chat. And then when I select you, just unmute yourself and start talking. So who wants to go first? Who wants to give their opinion? Podcast or Dead Tree? Don't all jump up at once. I see we lost NCAF and you guys can unmute your mics. Mix minus so I don't. Oh, I see. Mark is and Kath is having issues with feedback. We'll see if we'll get back. And Kath?
Hey, can anybody hear me? No, maybe?
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
Okay. I don't know my volume level, so I'll see what this guy. I'm not killing anybody. Is it too loud? I'm hearing myself loudly. Let me turn my headphones down.
A little loud and very deep.
Well, it'll be deep anyway. I can't do much. Well, I can do a little bit about that, actually.